Hello, welcome back to Millennial 2020. And this is the second on the stream on the second night. And I'm now with Count Dankula. So welcome, Count Dankula, to Millennial.
All right, man. How you doing? Third time now.
Yeah, this is the third one. Yeah, I think the first one was 2018. Yeah, that's right. So, we haven't talked at all about what we're going to discuss, but what the fuck would you say about 2020? It's amazing. Like, this is so different from my previous stream. I just had the TBG on, and now you. It's amazing, yeah, change of tone. But anyway, go for it.
Like, that's the thing, is usually I've been down to like London a couple of times, and then we've had a few beers, and then we've got stuff to talk about, but like nothing, at least nothing, like, everything that's happened has been online and news and everything, but as for like real world stuff, absolutely jack shit has happened, and it's just been a shit year, like with lockdowns and viruses and... Yeah, it's just been absolutely terrible. You think like, oh, I'll be fine. I just sit inside the house and I'm on the computer all the time. But then when you're told you can't go outside at all, you actually start to go a little bit crazy. Like, you think,
it's been a write-off of a year for most people, really. It's just been, and I don't know how much longer it's going to go on for, but it does. They've just cancelled. They've just, like, London has just gone into tier three, but I think in Scotland the standards are a bit higher anyway. I mean, it's because I was up there a few, like, about 3-4 weeks ago now, and it's fucking. It people are taking it very seriously up there, far more seriously than they take it in London, actually.
Oh, in Scotland, do you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It's almost like it's weird. Like, we've started calling these people the finger men. Like, the ones that scream at you, put on your mask, why are you going out? Like, is it essential travel? Is it essential work you're leaving your house for? Like, there was even a guy, did you hear about the guy in the jet ski in the fucking island, right?
Like, and he's now in prison.
He's in prison for 4 weeks. He'll do a week, I think. Like, they'll get him out of there as soon as he can. But, like, a man was so depressed.
Maybe he'll die of COVID before then.
Probably. But, like, a man got, he was so depressed that he got on a jet ski, travelled 4.5 hours across the open ocean on a jet ski to travel to the island that his girlfriend lived on. Like, that is romance. That is such romance. That's a beautiful story. And instead, they throw him in prison. And it's like, who was he infecting? The fish on the way there? Well, like, I don't give a fuck, man. Like, honestly,
did the police come and arrest him while he was with his girlfriend?
Yeah.
Did the police meet him at the beach when he skied up?
Apparently, people like see him like arrive on the shore and just like start walking through the streets to like his girlfriend's house, and everyone was just like, "What the fuck? Did that man just arrive from the ocean like by jet ski?" And then they could, like, someone snitched to the cops, came at the house and arrested him. But apparently, it was like this thing where the island apparently has no COVID, and they're trying their hardest to like keep it that way. And then
like an uncontacted tribe.
Yeah, it's like the North Sentinelese from that island just off of India. You know, although the people at the Isle of Wight will probably murder Christian missionaries too. But you know.
Well, that is a ridiculous story, but I mean, there have been quite a few things like that, and it was, especially when it started. I mean, I think at this point people are kind of burnt out with it, to some extent, normal or the public. But when it started, there was a big thing about self-righteousness among the public about this. And I think it's amazing. You know, if you get people scared about their health, then that's kind of it. You know, you've got them. And I think it's only now that people are starting to relax and realize that they don't know anyone who's died from it, and they haven't even heard of any. I mean, what about you? Do you know anyone?
I know of two people, like, not people I've met, but it's sort of, you know, a friend of a friend type of thing. There was a woman that my mum and dad knew, but the problem was she was asthmatic, and while she had COVID, she took an asthma attack, and that got her. And the other one was, I won't say names, but it was a friend of my wife's uncle. And the one thing that really, really got the whole family is the uncle was an older guy, but he was in hospital. he was dying, he was all alone, and they were not allowed to go in and see him. They weren't allowed to say their goodbyes. Not allowed, basically, he died alone in a bed, which is absolutely tragic. It's absolutely fucking tragic story. But one of the ones that I was most concerned with as well is basically my wife's pregnant, and it was like, am I going to be allowed in the hospital to see the scans? I want to be able to see my baby. So I ended up, we just went to one of those little private clinics where you just pay 50 quid and they let you in. Like 50 quid a scan, which is fine. But the one thing that I'm worried about is they keep doing, oh, just one more lockdown, just one more, and it'll fix the problem. But like, my kid's due in March, and it's like, what? Like, I swear to God, I better be allowed to be in there for the birth of my child. I'm not having this wait in the car park, like wait while your child's being born. Like, if I'm not allowed in, I'm going to get arrested that day.
Oh, that'll be your next controversy.
Yeah, except this will probably be the one where the whole public go, yeah, okay, fair enough. this will be the one where I actually have a lot of the public like on my side instead of going, he said what? 17 times?
Hold on. Yeah, you might end up with like Ephraim Borofsky campaigning on your behalf this time. That might be quite a turn up for the books.
Oh, quite possibly. In fact, interesting story in regards to that. There was
is this YouTube friendly?
Yes, it's YouTube friendly. It wasn't like him in particular. There was another Jewish gentleman. I'm not going to say his name, but after all the Nazi Pug stuff happened, this Jewish gentleman was campaigning against YouTube to get the video taken down. Like, he was saying, the fact that YouTube have kept it up there and blah, 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 and he was harassing YouTube until eventually YouTube went, right, okay, fuck it, whatever, we're taking the video down. And then it ended up that this particular individual, he faked a hate crime on his own place of business. It was basically, he spray-painted some, like, pro-Palestinian stuff, apparently, on his business, and the media, like, went after him. Like, came after him because he got caught, and he was like, oh, he hired this guy to do it and blah, 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 and all these other things. But then, like, he emails me, like, friendly as anything and all that, going, look, what happened to you also happened to me. You should be against this. I now understand that what the mainstream media can do to an individual. And I was like, fuck you. What do you mean? It's like, you don't just get to do what you've been doing to me for like 2 years and then email me like, hello, friend. It's like, fuck off.
Man. What the hell? I can't even fathom this. So he was looking to you for sympathy and support because he had faked a hate crime against himself and been discovered doing that. That's bizarre. That's just a strange story.
I just said to him, Pierre, when I've compiled all these documents of how the media lies, I would like you to look through them. And I was like, no, I don't want to talk to you. Like, you campaigned to get my YouTube channel shut down. Go away. I think I sent him like one or two like very rude emails, and that was the last I ever heard from him. But I was just the fucking gall of that, man. Like, I realize I tried to ruin your livelihood and your income and get your channel shut down, but the papers lied about me too, so you know we're like blood brothers now. It's like, fuck off.
The gall, let's just use that word, because that's amazing. How did we get onto that? How the fuck did we get onto that?
Oh, Ephraim Borofsky get mentioned. I've not heard anything from him or about him in ages. I just know that he still apparently gets the occasional like angry email and all that. But I take nothing to do with that.
All right. Okay. Well, let's return to talking about Scotland, because just before we went on air, you were saying that it's very depressing up there and everyone's unemployed. Obviously, not in general, just now because of COVID.
It was kind of like that before, but you know, now it's worse. You know, Scotland, gonna Scotland.
Fuck.
Look, we're Scottish. We're allowed to do it. You know, it's like being allowed to say the N word. We're allowed to shit all over our own people. It's fine.
Yeah, it is. I mean, again, I was up there a few weeks ago, and there is a sense of dereliction. And it is a thing. It is a thing about Scotland. Yeah. I think you and I, we were born at the end of the last quarter of the 20th century, and there's just so much. There used to be industry, and now there isn't. And it's a sort of prevalent thing in Scotland. I don't know what to say. I don't even know where.
Call centres. You've got 50% of our youth working in call centres and working in the service industry. You've got things like free university and free college and stuff like that here if you meet the requirements. But I mean, it's very easy to go. I'm not saying that getting a degree is easy, but it's easy to go to a university where you can then get your degree. But it's once you get out and you have that degree, what are you going to apply it in? All there is the service industry. There's McDonald's, Burger King, H&M, TK Maxx and everything, or the other 50% of jobs, a call centre.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, this is the thing about, this is why people moan about globalism, because everything ends up being these huge corporations that just create an outlet in anywhere. It could be Scotland, it could be Sweden, it could be Finland, it could be India. And the local people just get jobs there. But it is very dispiriting. I mean, another thing that I find dispiriting, and I couldn't believe this, because the Scots are supposedly a people who have a heritage of engineering, that when they built the fucking Edinburgh tram system, they got a German company to do it. And yes. I was talking about this with some people when I was up there. I was thinking, that could have been a nice thing for the Scottish people to do for themselves, but instead it went to a German firm, and then it ended up costing twice what they'd originally projected.
It was more. It was more than twice. It costed this stupid, insane amount of money, and it had huge, essential parts of Edinburgh city centre's roadways shut down.
Yeah.
And the tram doesn't even go that far. I think it only takes you about 20 minutes to ride it to the end. And everyone was just all of that for that. The trams were iconic. See if they kept the trams they've done in places like San Francisco and all that type of stuff, right? If they kept them and they just improved the infrastructure that was already there, that's fine. Don't take them away. Then 50 years later, just go, do you know what would actually be nice? I miss the trams. Let's bring them back. So let's spend $1 billion and completely fuck up the city centre for about 8 years or ages, something.
It's been going on for a long time. And when I was there, they're now digging up Leith Walk, and Elm Row and all that, where the various things are, and so that road, that's a huge long road going towards Leith from the city centre, and it's just all it's fucked. And I think that's permanent. I think it's now going to be a tram line, so I don't know if there are actually going to be cars on there anymore. I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't know how you can do that. So, but
catch the trolley. Stick on your top hat and grab your cane and catch the trolley.
I don't know. You hear these decisions being made by councils, and it's definitely something that happens a lot in Scotland, where councils make decisions that no one else understands, but it happens anyway, and they just seem to sort of exist in their own universe.
How angry would you be, though, whether, we're going to do something major, we're going to invest, hundreds of millions of pounds, we're going to get it, for our culture, for a part of our history, and we're oh, hell yeah, what are you going to do? You're going to reintroduce Gaelic to the school system again? What are you going to do? Trams. Fuck off.
Yeah, it's just bizarre. I mean, actually, on the topic of Gaelic being introduced to Scotland, what do you think about that? Because I'm actually for that.
I'm in favour of it. I would still like it to be a choice, right? Because this is the thing, is everyone's oh, you want to learn a language though that you can actually get some use out of. I learned French. I haven't used it once. I've forgotten it already. So it's a case of I had no interest in being any kind of translator or whatever. So if someone went, but you need to take a language, they don't give you the option to not take a language. So I would rather have chose Gaelic. So even though I'm not going to be speaking French or German, I've no interest in it, I would at least, you know, speak some of the language, you know, the ancient language of the country that I grew up in.
Yeah. Exactly. So sorry, I'm just trying to get entropy set up right now while we're talking. Absolutely. I think this is because people are asking about questions. I think it's a good idea because I think it would help to, you know, stem globalism apart from anything else. If people had more of a sense of their own national, regional identity, I can see it there with the Cornish and the Yorkshire and all that. And I think it's just a good idea. Of course, I can understand why someone would say it's a bit ridiculous because it is effectively exhuming a dead language. But, well, kind of like, why not? It doesn't have to be a dead language. That's a decision for us to make. And there are still, you know, it's not completely dead anyway.
I think it'd be a case of, like, see if in school, though, they make you choose a language. At least, I don't know if it's changed. They did when I was there. It was a case, I don't want to learn French or German. Oh, well, sorry, you have to pick one. Like, it's a case of, like, either introduce Gaelic so that we can learn more about our culture and history, or just completely remove the language part entirely and let me pick another science subject, you know, something actually useful.
Yeah, yeah. So the entropy link is in there. If anyone wants to ask questions, you can go ahead for Dankula. I think that would be a good idea. Because I remember in the 90s, there just wasn't really any sense of Scottish culture. Certainly at my school, it just wasn't there. And I think, why? Why not? It does seem to be something that we're choosing not to do.
We don't even learn about it in schools. Like that's the thing, is you would think, like, whenever you're in America, like, what do you learn about? You learn about George Washington crossing the river, you learn about the Civil War, you learn American history. You learn American history. Over here, when I was in history, we learned about the mining industry and then the rise of communism in Russia. That's what we learned about. And believe it or not, it was those history classes and my history teacher that actually got me into communism in the first place. Because the way he taught communism was not the truth. He was basically going, oh yeah, everyone was great, it was brilliant, everyone had bread and bread and more bread.
That is actually an interesting question. How did you get into, have you talked about this? How did you get into communism?
History teacher. It was my history teacher that basically painted it as this, oh, it will solve all of our problems. It's this magic wand, and the reason that they don't want you to have it is the evil capitalists, blah, blah, and everything. I'm like 15, 16 at the time, so I'm just lapping all of this fucking shit up, and then for the longest time, I was like hardcore communist when I was like 18, 19. I was like in the Young Communist League and all these other institutions, and then like the real reason that the awakening that I had was actually before Nazi Pug was just sort of like the final nail in the coffin. But what ended up happening was see how the way Antifa have become, I was still sort of involved in the movement when like all of that was starting, because basically when I first joined, it was all these men in like their 40s and 50s with a little worker's bonnets on, and they remembered Thatcher. They were all miners and shipbuilders and basically people that had their livelihoods, pensions, everything absolutely destroyed by Thatcher. And so back then, the communist movement was 100% like worker-orientated. It was the working class, the working, you know, Scottish people and stuff, and that's what they were focused on. But then as time went on, you had these younger generation joining, the ones where half their blue head of hair shaved and the ambiguous gender started like jumping on board and everything. And the thing that I thought funny is I can remember arguments where there was a guy who was like in his 50s, he'd been a communist for about like 30 years, and some little 18-year-old bisexual with a tattoo on her forehead was shouting at him going, you have no idea what you're talking about. And the guy sitting there like, ah, what the fuck? Who are all these brats that have like appeared into the movement and ended up, they completely took over the whole thing. And it's the thing that actually made me leave, it was this was ages ago, and it was a demonstration that happened when, it was when, see how the SDL, the Scottish offshoot of the EDL, Like,
yes.
They were doing a demonstration in St. Enoch Square in Glasgow, and we all turned up, and we've got, like, you know, like our little signs and everything and protesting against them and all that type of stuff. But then all the younger ones turned up, and this is, when was this? This was 2012 or something like that, I think. And basically, yeah, they were all masked up. They were all like Antifa look now. And one of them came up to me and went, "Oh, look what I've got." And he lifts his sleeve up and shows me. And he's got a police spring baton hidden up his sleeve. And I immediately start panicking, and I'm going like, what the fuck? Like, I'm here to protest. I'm not here to riot. Oh my God. And we were all talking about it, going, we're going to get put in a list. We're going to get fucking arrested. We're going to get branded a terrorist group. Little did I know, if I'd have just stuck it out, I would have totally gotten away with it.
Yeah. That's the thing. When I interviewed Mike Isaacson 3 years ago, and he's the Antifa guy with the long neck from America. And I had him on Millennial 2017, and he was just quite unashamedly, quite proudly talking about political just violence. Yeah. He didn't care. I mean, it's like, it's amazing to me, because I remember when it all, like, at the start of that year, 2017, you started getting violence from Antifa. And I remember thinking then they're actually very comfortable with violence. They sort of take it for granted. That's going to happen, and we're happy with it. We're fine with that. And then I heard it from him, like from the horse's mouth, as it were. You must have known that there was going to be going to be violence. You know, he was saying that to me, and I'm like, well, to be honest, no, I didn't. I was quite naive. I didn't get into this thinking in those terms, but he obviously had. And this is a skinny guy as well. That's the other thing. That's quite weird. It's quite strange. Yeah. About these people, you know, these are guys who, yeah, sorry, you go.
And I was just saying, he looks like he's never even thrown a punch in his life.
Well, I don't know. I don't know about a punch, maybe a Molotov cocktail. I don't know. I don't mean to besmirch him. I'm just joking, really. But yeah, there's this weird sense that they, and I think it is because they basically know, even though they moan about the police and all that, I think they know that they will get a sympathetic, you know, they'll get away with it, basically.
Well, no, as far as sympathy goes, like any political movement that in any way has to resort to violence, like they lose the public support in a massive way. Like, that's the thing, is like, the only people that actually outright, everyone thinks that the vast majority of people support Antifa and the actions of Antifa, but it's not as a case. See, because we see articles all the time excusing them and all that stuff. Like, that's because the media has become dominated by far lefties that are fighting fascism from my PC chair. And like, that's why we think it's so widespread, and it's not. But if you ask, you know, just average Joe Bloggs on the street, the average person hates Antifa. They see scary people masked up with bike locks and pepper spray and like all these weapons and bats and flagpoles beating people up for next to absolutely no reason.
Yeah, it doesn't look great.
Yeah, I mean, that was the thing, is like, it's obviously it's fucking shit, the doxings and the attacks and the burning of property and everything, but the more and more they do it, it completely ruins their public image, and more people are going to turn against them. And it's the whole, you know, as was it Sun Tzu that said, never correct your enemy when they're making a mistake.
But like, yes, indeed.
But
they don't help themselves in that way.
No, they don't. And that's what happened with the IRA. Believe it or not, for the longest time, the IRA were widely supported by a lot of reasonable people. They were like, oh, these people have been trampled upon and bullied and stuff like that, and everyone was on support with them. And then even when they were murdering British soldiers, they still had support because people saw them as killing an enemy that had committed atrocities against them. But then came all of the collateral damage, the children getting killed in car bombings, the women and all that type of stuff. And see, because of that, the IRA basically obliterated themselves, all the public support. And that's the thing, is like, I've from a very Catholic background, I stay in an extremely Catholic area, and a lot of people, whenever you bring up the IRA, everyone's like, yeah, we want a united Ireland, but not that way. like that. Right. These are devout Catholics. Like one guy I know never has his Celtic top off. and he does it. He doesn't like the IRA. And that's the thing, is even from people who should be like supporting a cause like that, they're like, yeah, we want it, but not like that. And I think that the longer and longer Antifa go on, that eventually is going to happen to them as well. Like, I'm hoping that 10 years from now, people will look back and just think, violent scum.
Well, yeah, I mean, because the Ireland thing is a fucking quagmire to get into, but there does seem to be an interaction between, the unionist cause and Antifa in the here and now.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know the details of it, but there does seem to be interaction there. It's weird hearing you talk about this, because for me, I grew up on the east coast of Scotland, and this just was not there. It wasn't a part of, like, people didn't talk about Protestants versus Catholics, and they definitely didn't talk about Ireland. I think it's definitely something that prevalent in the western half, southwest.
I think it's because a lot of the Irish immigrants that came over after the famine and the years after it, a bunch of them did go to Edinburgh, but what happened was basically they got shipped around the country to like build canals and harvest crops and all that type of stuff, whereas a lot of the metalworking, shipbuilding, you know, railroad digging and all that stuff was all around the western parts, and that's why a lot of the, you know, Catholic Protestant thing came over here, because a lot of people know that I grew up in Coatbridge, and Coatbridge actually has Catholic and Protestant areas. Like, it's not as bad as Northern Ireland, where they have to like build like 30-foot walls between the housing estates to stop them from Molotoving each other. It's not as bad, but it definitely was a thing. I think that the reason, because I grew up with it, is why I take nothing to do with football. I get it all the time. What are you? You Rangers, you Celtic, you Rangers, you Celtic. And I take nothing to do with it, because I can remember being about like 16 and seeing an 11-year-old boy getting absolutely jumped on by like grown men because he had a green shirt on.
This is amazing. Yeah. Now it looks very strange as well, because you know there are all sorts of other peoples now in Britain. I'll just put it that way, and yet these old animosities remain. I mean, obviously, and the, you know, you've got the Scottish government banning sectarian songs at football stadiums and all that stuff. Yeah. They're going down really hard on that, but meantime, there are other, you know, multicultural antagonisms emerging all the time. It's a very strange thing. And I also am baffled that people still take that seriously. Like, it's the narcissism of small differences, I think. They'll still care about that, but they won't care about much greater social changes taking place. It's very strange.
Yeah, it's the one thing that I've never understood as well when it comes to, you know, people like the SNP or like Sinn Féin and stuff like that, where it's like, yeah, we want our country to be independent, and then we want to open its borders, and it's you want to create a border around your country and then act like that border doesn't exist. why? Like, hold on a minute. I can't comprehend it. I don't know. I have no idea how these people work.
You see, this is where I wish that I could talk to them. But they would never talk to me. That's the thing. It's frustrating, because I'd like to hear it from them. How the fuck do they square that in their heads? I mean, somebody just posted in the DLive chat, the Irish fought for 700, this is using the Irish as an example, they fought for 700 years to kick out the Brits, and then within 70 years, they gave Ireland away to Brussels.
Yeah.
And other groups. And yeah, it is baffling. And you get to see the same thing with Scotland and with the independence thing. It's clear that the SNP, we're talking about this with the TBG an hour ago.
They want to be in the EU?
Yes. I mean, how the hell does that... I just don't understand that.
See, when they say, oh, the only party supporting Scottish independence, stop calling it independence. You do not want independence. You are quite happy to wear the collar. You just want to change who's holding the leash. That's it. Call yourself the Scottish Secessionist Party. Right, you want to secede from England, right? Whatever, at least that's honest. But don't call yourself an independence movement, because you're not.
No, indeed. I'm going to put a super chat to you, because it's the first one that's come in. I'm sorry, everyone, it took me a wee while to get Entropy working, but it does now work. So somebody's asked, come on, Dank, the big question. Do you... God, I don't know if this is safe to ask. And if you think it's not safe to answer, just we'll move on. But here's the question. Come on, Dank, the big question. Do you still think traps are not gay?
Yes, and I will die on this hill. I love how it's weird. It's just a silly little question, but it annoys so many people. Like I've been at events and people have came up, and even though it's a dumb meme question, I've actually had people trying like come up to me. Like I'm at a pub at a Sargon event or something, enjoying a pint, and a guy comes up and asks me the question, and I'll laugh and go, "No, it's not." But then the guy will enter into like an actual serious debate with me on the topic, and I'm like, mate, it's a meme question, come on. But the guy's sitting there like getting serious and all that, and I'm like, mate, like,
oh no.
But it is, though. Any sexual contact that you have with someone, knowing they're a man, and I'm like, just drink your pint, man. Like, that's like fucking of all the things to challenge me on.
Do we have to fall out about this?
Exactly.
All right, here are some other questions. Okay, Thick Oik. I don't think I can ask that question about the Irish. It's a bit too offensive. Okay, so I'm just going to skip that one. Here's one. Are the Scottish just a poor imitation of the Irish? I don't think so. But what would you say to that?
Well, it's sort of, how does the story go again? Because I think we've discussed this before. We're all descended from the Gaels, who were like the Gauls. Like we migrated from, originally we were in the mountains around Austria, mining salt. And we used to take it down to the Mediterranean, and we would trade all along the Mediterranean, south of France, like Spain, France and everything. But then on our route, we found Ireland and Scotland, Ireland and Britain and all that. That's why you've got places like Cornwall and everything that are still considered like Gaelic places, like Celts. So populated all of Ireland, populated all of like Western Britain. And then in Scotland, there was the Picts on the east. The Gaels and the Picts of Scotland sort of fucked each other and created the Scots, while the Irish remained like mostly like Celt. Well, yeah, entirely Celt, pretty much. I think that's the story. So ethnically, we're pretty much identical, sort of, I think. Because we were talking about it before, where apparently because whenever the Celtic society broke down in Central Europe, it just dispersed in a full 360 throughout Europe and just spread the genes absolutely everywhere. So yeah. There's no way to identify like the root gene, because it's fucking everywhere. It's all throughout Europe.
Yeah, but the Pictish, I think they were swamped by. I think they're only like 10% of the DNA in the modern Scot is from the Pict. It's some tiny like thing like that.
They think it might have been disease that actually wiped them out, because they traded with external people, but they were very. Do not come near our towns, do not come near our cities, we'll fucking murder you if you do. But I think people think it might have been through trade that they got some kind of disease, and because they were very reclusive, they hadn't built up immunities or anything to it, and they believe, because I think it was around 800 AD, I think it was about then, and it's just, look it up, it's just classed as they mysteriously disappeared. Nobody knows what happened.
Yeah, very strange. Okay, there's another question. Oh my god! Okay, thoughts. Yeah, right,
you're just skipping them all, man.
I'm not skipping all of them. I'm just sort of exclaiming about each one while I read it. Well, here's an innocuous question: does Dankula like pistachios? This is obviously someone who's noticed that I do like pistachios. So, where do you stand on the pistachio question?
I do enjoy pistachios. I will eat them, but I'm more of a walnut type of guy. I prefer walnuts.
Right.
Not dissing pistachios. They are a fine snack.
Okay. A fine snack. I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Here's a more meaty question. Thoughts on the current state of Brexit? I mean, you know, I can't even keep track of this. And it also seems to be becoming increasingly sort of irrelevant. But I don't know. There's a sort of limit to how much you can care about this stuff when it's taken 4.5 goddamn years already. But anyway, so you take it away. Thoughts on the current state of Brexit?
I don't want to say any of this hopeful, naive shit where I'm like, we're almost at the end of the tunnel. I can see the light. We're almost at the end of it. No, this was a decision that the population was not allowed to make. So, like, they're going to drag it out and, like, basically, they're going to punish us for it as much as they possibly can. So they're going to drag this out as much as they can and make us suffer. Like, oh, is it going to be a deal? Is it going to be no deal? I just say, rip the plaster off. Tell Europe to go fuck itself. Fuck them.
All right. Yeah. Yeah, I know that Sargon did a video just the other day saying no deal Brexit incoming. So maybe, you know, he's thinking along the same terms that, you know, we should just get out. All right. Here's another edgy question. Oof, no, maybe not that one. There's one about Elliot Page and Caitlyn Jenner, and asking you to compare them and in a certain way. And I'm just going to skip over that one. What do you lads think of Catboy Cammy? Funniest guy on the internet, in my opinion. Well, you go for it, Dank. What do you think about Catboy Cammy?
I've heard of Catboy Cammy, but I actually haven't watched any of his stuff. Like, I've seen pictures of him and stuff like that floating around, but I'm aware of the name, but I don't really know much about him.
Right, he's a sort of outrage merchant, and he is, you know, he is funny, but it's very, it's very on the nose. It is pretty hardcore stuff, but he is talented. He's good at what he does. Do you have have you seen Trapdoor, the animated thing?
No.
All right, okay. Well, someone's asked a question about that. Here's a good question. Will Count Dankula take the vaccine?
I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait quite a while before I take it, because basically there are concerns about fertility. And, like, I'm just, right, I've been talking to Alex Jones too much. People are going to say, right, I'm not saying this is the case. I'm just saying I'm going to wait and see, right? Because when you've got people like Bill Gates and all of these other rich people who are backing the vaccine and promoting the vaccine, and these people have also been seen to be talking about population control and how there's too many people on Earth, and then a vaccine comes out that says, oh, we've got absolutely no idea what this does to fertility. That just kind of makes me go, okay, I'm gonna sit back and I'm gonna wait and I'm gonna see what happens. Because, you know, like, because that's one thing as well, is like, my wife's pregnant, so she's like, she can't have it. She can't get the vaccine at all, and I'm definitely not taking her to get it, like, while she's pregnant. But I'm gonna wait. I'll wait a good while and see what the effects are on people.
Right. Okay. All right. I mean, I think that is safe, what you just said, because, I mean, they have said we don't yet know what the effects are on fertility. That is simply truthful. I've seen the text myself. All right. Have you heard of a game called DayZ, DAYZ, and what do you think of it?
Oh, DayZ.
Yeah, DayZ, yeah.
I used to play it back when it was a big fad, but then the game just kind of died because the devs just kind of stopped giving a shit and the guy just sort of took off with the money.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Okay. He promised everybody the world, but delivered a little shitty shed in someone's back garden and kept the money.
Fuck. Yeah. Okay. One of those things. Okay, here's another degenerate question. Gay furries get a bad rap. Thoughts?
They deserve it, though, don't they? Like, I'm joking. I'm joking, but I mean, it's like, I mean, it's like walking past a bunch of Neds with a big red mohawk. You know, you're going to get a few things said to you. If you walk by them in a rainbow fursuit, you're going to get the same thing. I mean, like, you absolutely have the freedom to do it, but you know, people are going to say something, aren't they?
Are they going to be furry phobic? Is that a thing? Is that a thing? Do furries? I mean, I honestly know nothing about furries. I think I know what they do. Is it regarded as an actual sexual orientation, and then afforded, you know, the protections of, you know, like that, furry phobia?
Well, that's one part of it. There's actually, like, furrydom is like one big all encompassing hobby, and then inside furrydom there is.
It's the factionalism.
There's a lot of factionalism. You actually get right-wing furries and you get left-wing furries. Basically, and then there's also other groups where basically you get the right-wing just plain old furries, then you get the right-wing sexual furries, and vice versa, and you get all these different kinds. And yes, I thought it was a meme, but it turns out that it is in fact true. There are even alt-right furries.
Oh my God.
Yes, and apparently one guy got kicked out of an event because, I don't know, I'm trying to remember this. Like, apparently a sign got put up on one of the furry conventions that says anyone wearing any racist attire or racist furry suits will be asked to leave. And it was later found out that a guy apparently had turned up to one of these events dressed as a grey wolf, wearing an Obergruppenführer hat and had an armband on. And people at first thought it was ironic, but the guy was like, "No, I mean it. I'm a Nazi wolf named Hans." What was it? What was his name? Hans Razorpaws or some shit? Like, it was... In the modern day, I'm like, I don't know if that's a poe. Yeah. I don't know if it's real, but
the thing is, I can imagine that him then going to like an alt-right convention and being thrown out of that for being a furry.
Yeah. He's just sitting in the gutter crying with his fursuit on because he doesn't belong anywhere.
He's a lone wolf.
Oh, God. Oh, fucking hell.
All right. On a similar but related note, would you agree that J.K. Rowling is the surprise hero of 2020 after refusing to cuck to the trans lobby?
Well, the thing is, she bent the knee an awful lot as well, didn't she? Where she was just sort of going, "Oh, this character's gay. That character's bisexual and all this stuff." And then it's like, and everyone was making jokes, but it's like J.K. Rowling reveals that you, the reader, are gay.
Oh yes,
But like, but then she wouldn't. I think she's been quite friendly with Glenner, like Graham Linehan.
Yes, well. He got banned from Twitter, didn't he?
Yes, he does.
For this stuff. It's clearly a sore point with a lot of these progressives. They cannot go that, because, well, they don't know how, like, what does it mean? If you're going to be, like, pro-gay rights or whatever, then what does it mean if you don't even believe in male and female anymore? It's kind of, how can you even be a feminist if you don't believe that women exist? It's a very strange, I know that was J.K. Rowling's objection to it all.
Yeah, it basically, like, if you abolish, like, all gender, then you sort of abolish everything that these genders have been fighting for at the same breath, where it's like, I mean, you can't for, like, the last 80 years, you know, go, women should get the vote, women's rights, let's burn our bras, and then in 2020 someone goes, actually, there's no such thing as women. Man, and you've just absolutely delegitimized, like, 80 years.
It's a hell of a plot twist, isn't it?
Yeah,
for these people, they must think, well, what the fuck? Well, what's this all been about then?
Exactly. Like, I don't understand it. Like, I mean, it's like, obviously, you know, I'm a lolbert. You know, if people want to be trans or gay or whatever, that's completely up to them. Just as long as they're not fucking with other people. And one of the things that does include, you know, fucking with other people is, you don't recognize me as the gender that I have chosen. I'm going to get your entire social media stripped away and get you fired from your job. Go fuck yourself if you're trying to do that. Like, that's, if someone, like, that's the thing, is they never ever want to enter discussion. It's a case
They've long ago given up on that. Yeah. I mean, that'd be an interesting question of when did the left, as a collective thing, as an overall entity, when did it give up on discussion, on debate? Because I'd say it was probably around 2010, I guess. Yeah. Something like that.
Like that was the thing, is I know that for the longest time, like the 60s and 90s and stuff like that, you had, say, like the old, like, pearl clutching, like, conservatives that were like, he just said fuck on TV. He said fuck on the telly. You can't have that, like that. They fought against stuff like that for ages, and that's a case of, right, aye, all right, then, that's fucking nonsense. Like, stop trying to get comedians banned for, like, swearing, which was a big thing in the 60s and 70s. They wanted comedians taken down for swearing, but now it's a case of, if a comedian makes any type of spicy joke, that's when it's like the left, you know, the thing that they've become, the thing that they fought against for ages, sitting at home clutching their pearls going, that's terrible, I'm going to write 50 angry emails to the BBC.
Very much. I mean, yeah, that and that's something that's going to be coming up in several more millennial episodes. We're going to be discussing that matter, that how the left changed. It's an interesting thing. Okay, what do either, and it's a completely different topic, what do either of you think of the idea of a Kanzuk union? This is with, you know, Britain and Canada and New Zealand and Australia, I guess. I mean, I think, yes, fair enough. I think it sounds like a good idea. I don't have any objections to it. What do you think?
I don't know why, but I just get an image of the Queen riding through the streets of London, like, on a corgi, firing a musket into the air with, like, Union Jacks all around her. Rebuild the Empire! Like, that's what it feels like. Like, that's what it looks like.
There is that, but then again, it's also true that these countries do. I mean, it's not like India something like that. I mean, these are, you know, Anglophone countries. I think it's the kind of thing that probably will emerge. It wouldn't surprise me if it does happen. I mean, it's the same with the, like, Visegrad Union in Eastern Europe and so on. That wouldn't surprise me at all. I think there are these natural alliances that I think will emerge. All right.
It's like a step towards globalism, though, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, there's always that danger. Yeah. Okay, who is the true... Are you into synthesizers?
Not really. I like synthesizer music, but I don't play.
Right, okay. Well, someone's asked a question. I wasn't sure why they've asked this. Who is the true king of the synthesizer, Giorgio Moroder or Vangelis?
I've never even heard those names. Sorry,
really?
One of my favourite bands is a synthesizer band called Slags Mills Clubbing, but they broke up like 10 years ago. But I'm not that dedicated where I know each individual player or anything.
All right, okay. Well, Vangelis did the soundtrack for Blade Runner and Chariots of Fire, 1492, and others that I can't remember now. Loads and loads of soundtracks. I would say, and then Giorgio Moroder was mostly disco, although he did do a few soundtracks as well. Have you ever seen Midnight Express? When he's in the Turkish prison.
Yeah. I have seen that. Long time ago, but I've seen it.
Weirdly, they got a synthesizer guy to do the soundtrack for that. If you had to choose between them, I mean, Giorgio Moroder's talented for sure, but I think that Vangelis is, you know, just better with synthesizers. Because, I mean, the Blade Runner soundtrack is just incredible. But, you know, as a musician, as a user of the machine, I'd say that Vangelis is more talented, yeah. Okay. How would you deal with a leftist who is trying to start a fight or give you a hard time in public?
There's actually footage of me doing that. I think it's on Tim Pool's second channel. There's a guy who's like, he's well known in basically anti-fascist protest circles in the UK because he gets bussed around and everything. And his name's out there. His name's Paul Sillett, and he looks like a scrotum. He just does. He always has the same little blue jacket and white hat on. Do you know who I'm talking about?
I've heard of him. Yeah. I've heard of the name, yeah.
Yeah, he's in United Against Fascism, but he gets bussed around the country. But he, you know, he can afford all this travel, but he can't afford a different set of clothes. That's how we saw him every single time. And like, he came up to me and Tim Poole and everybody, and then he just started going, "Fuck off, fuck off, you fucking fascist!" And I just start laughing at him, and I go, "You bull, you fuck off!" And I'm just smiling at him and laughing. And that's the thing, is I've had it as well. Like, I had it in George Square, of all places as well. See if you don't get out of here. Like, this happened in George Square. I was actually with a tailed feature, and one guy, it was a little fat guy, a bunch of them surrounded me, and the fat guy pure went, "See if you're still here in 5 minutes." And I went, "I'm here now." Man, and he sort of went, like, see, as soon as they realise that you're ready to fight them, they shit themselves.
Right.
Like, that's the thing, is like, just don't back down for them. And if you're outnumbered, well, you know, a little bit of eye gouging, self-defense, especially if there's more than five of them. So I've heard, not encouraging that behavior in any way whatsoever, of course. Yeah, absolutely.
Of course,
not.
Of course, in Minecraft.
Nah, I would say if you're in a situation like that, though, get the fuck out right away. Just get out instantly.
All right, okay. Here's a question. Dankulup, what was your experience being raised Catholic, and will you raise your daughter Catholic?
No, we are not Catholic. Like, I do have a Catholic background, but my mum and dad weren't practicing Catholics. I mean, just because you're not a practicing Catholic does not mean that you're not going to face any sectarianism. You know, I had my last name and I went to a Protestant school, so I've been called a Fenian and a Tag a fair share of times. but basically, we wouldn't raise my daughter like Catholic because we're not practicing Catholics. I'm not very. I keep my beliefs very close to my chest, but we like something a lot more old school.
Right. Okay. 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 That's obviously a private matter, so I won't ask about that.
That's fine.
Okay. Thoughts on the Govan Hill controversy? Someone else mentioned this, but yeah. I think you know what he's referring to.
I've heard the gist of it. I don't know. I know that there's a guy who's been, like, this is the gist that I know. There's a guy that's been going to Govan Hill, and he's been live streaming on his phone, and he's basically just showing, I've been to Govan Hill. It's a shithole. It is an absolute shithole. And he's showing, here's rubbish in the streets, and he said a few things about, here's where you can get your child prostitutes from and stuff like that. And like, that's the gist that I know. And like, I know that Govan Hill is a shithole. It is a really bad, dodgy, like, dangerous place. I used to actually date a girl for Govan Hill, and I remember getting into a fight because I was coming out of a shop. I just bought myself a bottle of Bucky, and a guy like tried to steal my bottle of Bucky from me, and I was just like, "What the fuck?" And I ended up in a fight over a bottle of Bucky, probably the most Scottish fight I've ever been in. But like, I got my bottle of Bucky. Don't worry, like, you never. You know, I think I'm unhanding my bottle of Bucky. I would just say the bottle of Bucky came in handy in that skirmish. But I don't know if the stuff he's saying is true. I know a lot of people are coming out and saying, "Oh, it's fake. He's exaggerating. He's this. He's that." I'm just saying, like, that. That's all I know. I don't know if he's telling the truth or not. But if he is, then it would be very nice if the police could get to the bottom of that.
Right. Okay. Yeah, okay. Let me see. What are your thoughts about Millwall fans booing their players who kneeled for BLM?
That's their free speech to do that. I mean, if the players want to kneel for BLM, that's their free speech. They can do that. If the fans want to boo them, that's their free speech and they can do that.
All right. What is your personal favourite Mad Lad?
Oh, Jesus. I'm trying to think. I don't know. It'd probably be Simon Mann. Simon Mann, just because I'm right, I don't want to say anything, right? Take everything I say with a pinch of salt. But I did a stream with him where I asked him, "Are you still involved in private military contracting in Africa?" And he just looks right at the camera with this big cheesy smile and goes, "Of course not." Like, right. That, and that just kind of made me go, "Oh fuck!" So I'm convinced he is. Like, but he's—I just find him so interesting that basically the Tory party, high-ranking members of the Tory party hired him to overthrow an African nation, and he went to prison for it, and all the Tories got away with it.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, it gets swept right under the rug.
All right. That's incredible. All right. There was another question. Oh, yeah. What are the next couple of Mad Lads videos in the pipeline?
Oh, I always keep them secret, because even whenever I go public with them and I tell people what they actually are, like, everyone considers that as ruining the surprise, and people actually get genuinely mad about it.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what it's like if you tell people something's on the way and then you don't.
Yeah.
Are either of you fans of Primal Scream? No, but I know nothing about them, in fact. So what about you?
I've heard of them. I've not actually heard any other stuff.
Yeah, I'm the same. What does Dank think of Lemmy? Lemmy.
Oh, God. Oh, you know Lemmy, Brian Lemon, the guy, the Lemmy show.
I don't know.
You've not heard it. You're a Scottish man that hasn't heard of the Lemmy show.
No.
Really? You've not seen that. Have you not seen that? Steel's Heavier Than Feathers. That's the most common one.
Oh, yes, him. Yes. I recognise this guy. Yes. Yeah.
Well, this is the weird thing that happened, is basically when Nazi Pug all, like, kicked off, everyone was reaching out to, like, Scottish comedians and stuff, like, oh, you should defend him, you should back him up and everything. And he did tweet at me saying, I thought it was absolutely terrible what happened to you, man. It's absolutely pish. Don't worry. If you get convicted, I'm going to kick off about it. That's fucking shite. And I was like, well, that's excellent. Thank you very much. That's fantastic. But in the years since then, he's just went mental. Like, if he bans people constantly from his Twitch chats and everything. Like, see, if you try and, like, defend the Tories or defend the right wing in any way, even just, I just like to have a discussion, Lemmy, he just blocks you on Twitter. He's even running a block bot now that blocked me and also blocked my wife. My wife tweets about baking and all that, but yeah. But he ended up, apparently I got mentioned on a stream again, like, people brought up going, do you still support Count Dankula? And he went, no, he's a racist, he's a Nazi, he's a fascist, and blah, blah, and everything. So Lemmy's just, he's just went straight off the deep end. But one of the reasons that people believe it is, now I'm not, take this with a pinch of salt, this is just what I've heard. Lemmy Show was on the air, ran for 3 seasons, then it got discontinued, they weren't going to renew it for another season. Then in the years after that, like, Lemmy was very depressed and tweeting a lot about depression and suicide and all this stuff. Now he's sort of got a show back on the BBC, kind of, so he's got his foot back in the door. And now that he's got his foot back in the door of mainstream media, out comes all the mainstream media talking points. Oh, I'm, you know, do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. It happens. Like, they've got to sort of show fealty towards the progressivism and all of that, the fashionable champagne socialist ideas, and they do it, and it's amazing. It's like paying penance, especially if he's trying to make up, because it'll probably be held against him that he wants voice support for you, so that's something that he's now got to constantly compensate for.
Yes, it's a case of, he needs to flagellate, go on live TV, say a few Hail Marys, bust out the cat of nine tails and start whipping his back. I must repent for my past sins of supporting human rights.
Yeah, it's just mental. But I don't know what to say about that. I mean, it's something that's been going on for years now. So, okay, have you been reading any books lately?
No, actually, I've not been reading any.
Nice, quick answer.
I know, no, I've actually got some books, like, sitting next to me, but, like, the books I like are, like, I like The Lord of the Rings and all that type of stuff. You know, I was reading a wee bit through, I think it was J.L. Peters' Social Principles in the Democratic State, which I was actually researching for a video that I was going to make 2 years ago, and I still haven't finished it, but, yeah, I need to get back into that. I'm not much of a reader.
Right, okay. Is Celtic music actually Irish, or is it Scottish? Do you know about this?
It's sort of all-encompassing, really. It's just that it stayed in Ireland and it's still very popular in Ireland. And I believe that the reason that it's not as big in Scotland anymore is, you know, after the third Jacobite revolution, the fucking the English went absolutely ham on eradicating absolutely everything about Scottish culture, you know, the language, the clan system, like all that stuff. England went out its way, and that included like music, because music's also a very important part of culture as well. So I believe that's why that ended up going as well. Like I love going to Cayley's. You've been to a Cayley?
Yeah, I have.
I fucking love a Cayley. I would rather go to a Cayley than a nightclub.
to be honest, yes, so would I. I mean, for fuck's sake, you know, modern nightclubs are pretty awful.
What would you rather listen to? Something cultural from your past or fucking WAP? Yeah. Man, like, I want to enjoy a pint. I don't want to hear some fucking idiot like screaming into a microphone about how many dicks you sat on. You know, man, that's like, how did we get through like House of the Rising Sun and Paint It Black and all that stuff? How did we get from that to here?
Yeah.
Yeah, fucking hell.
It's a horrible journey. Who is the bigger lol cow, Chris Chan or Dranken Lord?
I
don't know either of these people.
Oh, God. Well, Dragon Lord, like, I would say it's Dragon Lord, because Chris Chan is someone that, oh, there's a whole story that I should go into. There's a documentary that you can watch that documents everything from Chris Chan up until about 2016. And basically, Chris Chan was a severely autistic, mentally ill person who drew comics about Sonic and stuff like that, and those comics found their way to 4chan like back in 2007. 4chan made fun of the drawings, and that's when Chris Chan started uploading videos of himself to talk to 4chan, and it all just went from there. And like the entire story is amazing, by the way. It's funny, but it's also tragic, and it just ends so sadly. He's just a shell of a human being, purely because the internet has spent over a decade bullying him.
Fucking
hell. It's got that bad now that even places like Kiwi Farms are like, no, enough. Like, it's enough. Fucking now, hell. It's really bad. But then Dragon Lord is a completely different story, where I kind of feel that he deserves everything he gets. It's like, he's this German guy who, and he's just an idiot. He's not severely autistic or mentally unwell or anything. He's just an arrogant idiot. And what happened was basically, like, people found out he was a lol cow. People used to bully him and make fun of him on his streams and make memes about him. And then someone prank called his sister, basically saying stuff like, I'm going to come get you, I know where you live. And, like, Dragon Lord made a video, obviously very angry about it, and I feel you've every right to be angry about something like that. But what Dragon Lord did was said, so you're all going to come down and fight me, and then he gave out his full address.
Oh, yeah.
And what's happened is, for like the last 7 years, people go to his house all the fucking time and fuck with him. And he comes out into the garden screaming, shouting. There's even been fights. People have hit him with eggs. People have like fired fireworks at his house. And like people even, and this is the thing that's weird, right? There's an event, I forget what it's called, but it's basically an Antifa event. It's a far left event, or what, Shanzenfest or something it was called. And what they did was, like, they had their music festival outside of Dragon Lord's house to troll him. So even Antifa troll this guy. Like, German Antifa, like, went to his house to troll him.
So is that people on both sides hate him?
Yeah, it's weird. Like, that's the thing is, it's like, lots of people, like, look at this and go, oh, that's terrible. Why don't you just leave the poor guy alone? But Germans will turn around and say, no, fuck him. He deserves everything he gets. Because apparently one thing that he tried to do this year is he thought that because of lockdown, no one would be able to come to his house. So he made another video telling people to come to his house and fight him, because he thought that nobody would turn up with a lockdown. But what happened was just hundreds of people, like, broke lockdown and came to his house and smashed his windows.
Jesus. This guy's life sounds hellish.
It's really bad. It's at the point now, he lives in absolute squalor as well. He doesn't clean up his house and all that. There's only one room of his house that's now, like, livable, that he can actually, like, live and move around in. Everywhere's piled. It's like a hoarder. Have you ever seen that, like, hoarders thing? Like, there's rooms just full of garbage and shit like that. But Basically, because of all the shit that happened, Germany's got this weird law where if you get over 500 viewers in a stream, you're legally classed as a broadcaster and you need to get a license. So they never used this law, though, but they decided because he was causing so many problems for the village he was living in that they would use it on him. And they went, right, you don't have a license, so shut down your streams. You need to stop streaming. He didn't do that, kept streaming. And they went, okay, you've not done it. Here's a €1,200 fine. Like, you need to pay that and you need to stop streaming. He ignored it and didn't pay it. And they went, okay, oh, cool, we're adding another €3,000 onto your fine. And if you don't pay this, you will be arrested and go to jail. And he still keeps streaming and ignores it. This guy hasn't got €2, never mind like €4,200. So basically, I think he's going to jail. And see if you know the type of person he is. If he goes to jail, he's going to get fucking murdered in jail. He doesn't know when to shut up. He says everything he says just antagonizes everyone around him. He's going to end up getting shanked in the showers. Like, yeah.
It just sounds abysmal. I don't know what to say. I think I have heard the guy's name once, but I didn't know any of the background.
All of your German subscribers will know who he is. Everyone in Germany like knows about this guy.
All right. Okay. Yeah. All right. A couple more questions. Okay. Is football gay? 24 sweaty men kissing balls seems gay to me.
It does seem kind of gay. Not gonna lie. And then afterwards they all shower together. Yeah, pretty gay.
All right, Top Gun. And then there are two other questions, but they're about ethnic issues. Do you want to answer those or no?
Fuck it, go for it.
As a libertarian, are you entirely comfortable with becoming an ethnic minority in Britain by 2060?
I don't believe it's going to happen.
Right.
I feel that people should have a bit more faith.
All right. Okay, I think it's based on, I think it was an Oxford professor, Coleman, I've forgotten his first name now, but he projected it would be 2066. So I don't know. It's something that worries me.
If economic conditions keep going the way that they are going, I just personally feel, and I feel that coming with like the next generations, I don't think it's going to happen.
All right,
just don't be blackpilled on it.
All right, okay. And then someone says, "Can millennial talk that in the course of millennial? Can we talk about what we're actually going to do about free speech and choice being shut down?" This is what do you have anything to say about this matter? Just the continual erosion of free speech.
Yeah, it's something I talk about all the time. And I think what is going to end up happening is see once all of these major issues that are diverting from it. Now, I'm not saying that COVID and Brexit like aren't like worthwhile issues. Like, obviously people are going to focus on that. But when these things start to eventually go away and people divert their attention to other problems, people are always looking for a problem. Like, they always focus on the primary thing that is affecting them at that moment. For starters, you know, for 4 years, it was Brexit. Now it's COVID. So all of the other problems in society sort of they get pushed to the wayside. I think that once all of this stuff is done, and basically, you know, unless the government cooks something else up, that eventually there's going to be a massive replacement of the MPs that are in power. You know, freedom is starting to become very fashionable. You know, the more they push, the more people are starting to push back. And you're seeing it now. You're getting, like, young people that are growing up getting told by their teachers and bosses and parents, so you can't say that, you can't do this, or you don't want to be racist, you don't want to be alt-right, and all this type of stuff. And basically, you know, people are going to go like, I think we've made this joke in the past where back in like the 80s and 90s when everyone had like conservative parents, people were getting mohawks and getting the studded leather jackets and all that stuff. Like, fuck you, mum and dad, I'm going to go out behind the garage with my friends and sniff glue. And all that, and it's like, but now it's going to be like the modern equivalent where the son comes downstairs with a nice suit and well-groomed and his hair all done. Fuck you, mum and dad, I'm going to start a family. I think that's what's going to happen, but I fucking hope so. Oh, I think your microphone's died, man. I can't hear you.
Oh, shit. Sorry, I'd muted. I think you're right that freedom, I mean, the COVID, the lockdown stuff, and what seems to be in the pipeline now with the Great Reset, that is going to cause huge amounts of anger.
Yeah.
In the public. I mean, it's, I don't know if the Great Reset stuff is actually going to take off in any way. It's so fantastical and over the top. I don't know if they can even begin it. But just the lockdown alone and the COVID social distancing, the wearing masks and all that, I think that as it becomes, I think it's becoming already increasingly difficult for them to justify those restrictions. The longer it goes on.
The path we're going down is basically like my key goal, right, is generating distrust in the government, and it's purely because they deserve it. They absolutely deserve it. Like the shady things that they have done, the stuff in the past. I mean, everything all the way from like dodgy black ops overseas, all the way right down to the local council approving a fucking retarded tram system, right? Like everything like that. Like, see, if I was to describe the government as a person, I would describe him as the sleazy car salesman who has like convinced you that you need him and he's going to look out for your best interest and give you the best deal, when in reality he is trying to not just fuck you up the arse, but he takes pride in his ability to be able to fuck you up the arse. He actually enjoys screwing you over and scamming you. That's the way I view the government, and I want to try and get as many people to look at the government in the same way, because I don't want them to have the power that they have. I would like, see, even if it all came down to just local communities deciding what happens in their area, like, say, for example, like Birmingham, I'm not from Birmingham. Why should my vote or why should what I say affect what happens to the people in Birmingham? It shouldn't, right? So that's why, like, I would even take it all the way down to the local level. That's why I would,
So would you actually be against, like, up for abolishing national government completely?
I'm not ANCAP. I'm not there. I would have an extremely reduced state, and I feel that the state should be reduced down to its original purpose, which is to protect everybody's rights and protect its borders. Basically, you know, if someone, you know, kills someone or steals something or rapes someone, then they should go to jail. Like that should happen, you know. Basic infrastructure and like police and army and military and stuff like that. But what everybody else does, if as long as you are not infringing on the rights of others, then you should be allowed to do it. Like that's the way that I see it.
We're out of interest. One last question. Are you pro NHS?
Yes, I am. But I know a lot of people are going, how can you do that if you're a libertarian? Like, and it's like, I have a reason for it. Like I said, the government should be trying to protect your rights, right? And obviously, I think we can all agree the most important right is your right to life. And basically, if that one's not being protected, at least then the other ones really don't fucking matter. So basically, I think that the government providing free healthcare is the government doing what it is supposed to do. But then people say, oh, well, the government's supposed to stop other people violating your rights. Like, some people die naturally of, like, diseases and stuff. Like, have you to stop nature infringing on your rights? And everyone is kind of like, well, yeah. That sounds ignorant to go, nature's violating my rights. but you know what I mean? Yeah.
I think I do understand. I mean, I'm pro NHS as well. I'm up for not necessarily the NHS as it is today. I don't have any particular, you know, loyalty or love for it. I'm not one of these fucking people who's out at 8 p.m. banging crockery together. But I am pro socialized healthcare, universal healthcare. I think that's just a good thing. But of course, like everything else, it depends on how it's run. It's a complex matter.
Yeah, I like the system that we've got where, like, see how in America, like, medical bills, like, if you don't have the insurance, medical bills in America are fucking insane. Like, the prices that they can reach. Yeah. Whereas we still have private over here, but the problem is the private over here has to compete with free. How do you? So they basically like keep their prices like as low as they possibly can, right? Because they have to compete with free. It's a case of you could pay like £4,000 and get this operation that you need done in like 2 weeks, or you could wait 8 months and get it on the NHS for absolutely free. And the problem is that nobody has £4,000 just lying around, that, so people are going to go, fuck it, I'll just wait for the NHS, which is why like the private companies over here have to be as competitive as possible. So I think the system here we have would be good. Like, it would be a perfect system if the NHS can just fucking unfuck itself and be run properly.
All right. Someone's asked another question. Can you give a rundown on the Highlands versus the Lowlands?
Highlands versus the Lowlands? I wasn't aware of such a... I know there's been clan conflicts and stuff like that. I don't know if he means like the Highland clearances, because Highlanders had a hand in that.
Yeah, well, and some Lowlanders definitely had a hand in it. I think he probably means cultural differences or something like that, maybe ethnic differences. I know that the Scottish Lowlands are far more English genetically than the Highlands, which is more, the old Celtic and Pictish, whereas the Lowlands have more influx from the north of England, as you would expect. In terms of cultural differences, honestly, I wish I could tell you, I should be able to tell you, but I just don't know enough about Highland culture to tell you that.
It's not that different. It's really not that different. The only thing that really changes is just sort of the accents and everything. And people like the younger generation, it's one of those weird things. Like, see, when you live away out in the middle of nowhere, I live in the middle of nowhere and I fucking love it. But the younger generation, they see stuff on TV where it's like, gigs and parties and disco dancing and rap music and stuff, and that's when they leave and go and live in the cities and of them. So basically, the Highlands, like, the culture's pretty much the same, but there's a lot more older people, the further out remote you go, because all the younger people want to come to cities for reasons unknown. Cities are fucking shit.
All right. I know you especially hate London, don't you?
I hate London. How can you have so many people in one city and yet have absolutely no sense of community whatsoever?
On that bombshell, let's leave it at that. But yeah, London is a global city. It's a global city that belongs to everyone, and everyone's welcome there.
A wide range of restaurants. Yes,
incredible range of restaurants.
Oh, fucking
all right. Okay, well, let's leave it there. All right. Well, Dankula, thank you very much for appearing this year. I think the live chat's been very animated. I think they've enjoyed hearing from you again.
Not bad for a Sivna, eh?
You're so charming. All right. Okay, I'll be back in 35 minutes. And the next one is Paul Gottfried. So that'll be completely different. And then Blackpilled after that. Blackpilled will be on DLive only, just to warn everyone in advance. Okay, so thank you, Dankula, for appearing on Millennial 2020.
No problem at all, man.
All right, I'll see you all later. Bye for now.